It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, and I'm joined now by Steve Dace, nationally syndicated talk show host. In fact, you can hear him right here on this very radio station from 9 to midnight every weekday. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Andy, good. How are you? Merry Christmas. Good to be with you again.
You too. Republicans who raise taxes shouldn't survive. That's the piece in the commentary section by you in today's Washington Times. I guess you're throwing down the gauntlet, huh?
Yeah. The only thing, a quibble I had with the article is if I had written the headline, it would be won't survive. I just don't think it will happen. And I don't base this off of my opinion. We've done enough of these to know that, you know, I can separate my opinion from the analysis. If it's not necessarily, my opinion is not necessarily true.
Yeah.
So this is both my opinion in this case and my analysis based on people I know, people I talk to, that are influential in the Iowa caucus process. And one of the affiliates for our show is one of the biggest talk radio stations in South Carolina, right there in Greenville. So I get a chance to talk to those people all the time as well. And I just think that any Republican who publicly supports the coming looming sellout from John Surrender Now Before It's Too Late Boehner and his acolytes, and publicly supports it or votes for it, if they're planning on running for president, just don't. You're wasting your time, everybody's time, and you will be dismissed quicker than you can say Thaddeus McCotter.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny because you speak of the 2011 Iowa straw poll, and it was very interesting because looking back on that, it appears Iowans had that right.
Well, what happened with that was you had two candidates there that were the only two that said no deal on the debt ceiling, do not give an extension to Barack Obama's credit card. And despite the fact Iowans had issues with those candidates, they loved Michelle Bachmann. They were not necessarily sure yet that she was ready for the presidency. Keep in mind, she didn't get in the race till late May officially,
yeah.
And the straw poll was in August, so they only had a couple of months to look at her. And then Ron Paul, there were a lot of misgivings among people here in Iowa about conservatives about his foreign policy views. But the yearning to send a message, and I think, frankly, had Rick Santorum taken the same position, he would have finished much better than a distant fourth. I think had Tim Pawlenty taken the same position with the amount of money that he invested in that process, he would have finished much better than a distant third. But Michelle Bachmann and Ron Paul didn't just win, Andy. They lapped the field.
Yeah.
And what that tells you is that's a message. That's a mandate. And the mandate wasn't about Michelle Bachmann or Ron Paul. That's the point of my piece. As flawed as those candidates were, in order to send a message to Washington, the people in the First in the Nation caucus state said, hey, this is the message we want. If you can send us better messengers, great. But at this point, it's more important for the message than the messenger. And this is the message. We are losing our nation. It is a piece that Thomas Sowell has today at Real Clear Politics, moving forward into the past. We cannot do this. And the great irony is that we're trying to compete with China on a global stage, and they are adopting economic policy similar to what ours used to be. And we're trying to compete with them by going back to once made them failures. If that's not tragic irony, I don't know what is.
All right, but then you have conservatives, conservative broadcasters like Britt Hume coming out and defending John Boehner, saying, hey, look, you know, the president won, we lost. You know, Boehner's between a rock and a hard place. He's got to show some movement. So if you, Steve Dace, went to John Boehner, what would you tell him?
I don't know Britt Hume. Here's what I do know. Relationships fog up your perspective. Personal relationships have a tendency to get in the way of clarity, and that's true for all of us with human nature. It's tough when you're around people a lot and you're friends with people to see the forest through the trees, okay? And this is where if you're outside of Washington and you're not in that culture all the time and I don't have to see these people at the cocktail party or the steakhouse, it's a little bit easier for me to see this a little bit more clearly. Mm-hmm. I get that. But along those lines, it's just this simple. We won the election in 2010. Did Barack Obama back down on Obamacare? And we won the election in 2012. Republicans have, their, as a huge legion of conservative leaders pointed out in an open letter, and I just had Morton Blackwell on my show talking about this letter last week, they pointed out the Republicans have their largest majority in the House of Representatives in over 50 years. Okay, so Republicans won on election day two. I believe it's almost two-thirds of the states in the union now have, or at least a majority have, sole Republican control of their state government. So Republicans won on election day as well. But really, at this point, that whole argument, Andy, is why people are frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares who won the election? We're going broke. It's not about the political process, and it's not about numbers, and it's not about making sure everybody from Politico to the Washington Post loves me. It's about the fact we have $16.3 trillion in debt and climbing. We cannot afford this. It is about the fact that we are, and if this is the fiscal cliff, I'd hate to see what the last 4 years and another 10 years of this would look like.
Yeah.
And this is about survival. And that whole argument is the difference between people who live in the Beltway and the rest of us out here that do most of the living and dying in this country. We don't care whether somebody writes something nasty about us in the op-ed page or they don't invite us to the Christmas party. We're paying the bills for this, and our kids are paying the bills for this. We cannot afford this, and there is a sense of urgency we have out here in the cheap seats that, just frankly, the political apparatus in Washington, D.C., they have a different sense of urgency, which is more pleasing themselves than what's best for the country.
What was it? 61 million people voted for Barack Obama. Most of them, I would venture to say, don't know the first thing about the debt that this nation carries, nor do they care. So
well,
how do
you know, what I would do with that is sometimes, you know, I'm a parent. I've got three small children. Sometimes as a parent, your kids are just adamant. They are bound and determined to do what is bad for them. And sometimes you have to, as much as hard as it is, and as painful as it is. You know, it's the Christmas season. You know I'm a person of faith. It's hard. You know, I'm commanded to love my neighbor as I love myself. And sometimes love is tough, and you have to give people a taste of what's bad for them so they know better. So I really think the smartest play the Republicans have here, and I think it's also the most principled and the best for the country, is just to say, listen, Mr. President, you send us up a budget. It's your budget. You tell it by law you have to submit one. We're just going to have a vote on it. People want to vote for it? Cool. You guys want to own this? Great. But to not, if this is what the American people want, and keep in mind, Barack Obama did something only two other American presidents have ever done in history, and that is win re-election by winning less votes than you won the first time you ran. Only FDR and Woodrow Wilson did that, running for re-election in wartime. No president other than those two has ever won re-election without expanding their base, which shows you how much of a victory this really was. It was certainly not a mandate. And I would sit there and just say, fine, you own it. This is your policy. You take it to the American people. You have the votes. Do it. And we'll have a contest of ideas in 2014 about what the American people do or do not want. Because one thing you and I both know, and I'm sure would agree on, if they have their hand, any of their fingerprints on it, even if it's only 30-40% of the Republicans that vote for this to give the Democrats the votes they need, whatever percentage the Republican fingerprints are on this, when this thing fails and goes down in flames, they'll get 100% of the blame. So you might as well, the last thing, frankly, the Republican Party needs is another tarnishment to their brand. And I think it's bad politics, and even more importantly, it's bad policy.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Folks, if you haven't read it, check it out. Republicans Who Raise Taxes Shouldn't Survive. It's by Steve Dace. And keep in mind, Steve can now be heard right here on WTNT every weeknight from 9 till midnight. Steve, as always, great to talk to you. Have a wonderful Christmas.
You too, Andy. God bless.
5:45, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.